Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sarah and Vinny on Alice at 97.3.
Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. It is 7:40 in the morning. Vinny had to evacuate yesterday due to the cluster of fires down in the Santa Cruz area. So we will get all his stories on Monday. In the meantime, Brittany is filling the role of the anchor reporter for the ANN. So let's get right to the news.
Big shoes to fill. Here it is.
Radio Alice Report.
What's up? This news break is brought to you by All Natural Stone, open by appointment only in Berkeley, Burlingame, San Jose. And I queued up Dublin. And online at allnaturalstone.com. Here is NBC Bay Area Scott Budman here to tell us about what's happening with Lyft and Uber drama, apparently.
Hey, guys. Hey, Brenda. Sarah, hi. Good to see you guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Friday.
Good to see you. I actually see you. Yes, it's Friday. And, this is a big story. One of the things that has defined Silicon Valley for the last 10 years has been our gig economy. Like, we were way out in front of this. It's how we get our food. It's how we get places with our rides. TaskRabbit, we have people stand in line for us. Now the gig economy is all of a sudden really, really on kind of an edge here. And what happened was, as of yesterday at midnight, Uber and Lyft had both said they were going to leave California because of a recently passed law that was passed by the voters that said, if you drive for Uber and Lyft, you have to be an employee. And for many of us that have regular jobs, this makes sense. You get benefits, you get a regular salary. Mm-hmm. But for the gig economy, as you know, it's not that way. It's I'll work when I work. I'll work a little bit here. I'll work a little bit there. I'll get some money, whatever I want. But the state says, no, you can't do that for Uber and Lyft drivers. And so as of yesterday, they were literally going to leave California. And they had a big rally out in front of Uber headquarters. All these, largely in favor of what's called AB5, this law saying you have to make us employees. But at the last minute, the state came in and they sort of backed down and said, okay, we've got a little more wiggling room. You've got a little more time into September to figure out what to do. But I don't know if that's going to change anything because we've had months to figure out what to do. And Uber and Lyft have not changed their policy as to how they treat their drivers. And
right.
While some drivers say, hey, that's great. We like to do it when we want to do it. A lot of drivers are saying we should be treated like employees. That's how it works. And so we've got this impasse and this service that started right here, right where you guys are right now, literally down the street, and is now spread all over the world, may have to leave California or at least pull out of California because they can't make it work. And what are we going to do without Uber and Lyft? Can you imagine?
What are we going to do without Uber and Lyft? I mean, honestly, it has become. Listen, can I ask you? We were talking about this a little bit earlier this morning. Taxis. Why can't taxis get, I mean, those are employees or at least to some degree, right? They've got some protections in place. Right. They're paying on whatever car. I mean, I have to assume the taxis have been profitable long enough that because they've been around. Why did they become the blockbuster of driving people places? Like they, why couldn't they keep up and what's stopping them now from doing that?
Not all that much, but there are regulations. And some of those regulations come with being a regular business that has regular employees. So unlike Uber and Lyft, we didn't before get a taxi by putting on an app and paying
right.
with our phone and make it that easy. Also, taxi drivers don't hop in their cars from their homes to pick us up and take us places. So that amazing flexibility that
right.
the gig economy allows that we take advantage of and that some take advantage of the workers is sort of the difference between Uber and Lyft and the taxis. That said, I think the taxis kind of blew it years ago when this whole app thing started. They could have said, ah, look, there's this company using an app to get people to do what we do. The only thing we're missing from that equation is the app. Let's hop on board and get with the, you know, 21st century. And they really didn't. It's still two different lines, two different places at the airport, and kind of two different ways of doing business. One is streamlined and sexy, but maybe illegal. And the other is taxis, which have been taxis forever.
Right. And when you call for a taxi these days, because once in a while when you would have to do that, you know, you talk to dispatch. You got a call, you talk to dispatch, and then they're like, yeah, yeah, we can get someone out there in about an hour and a half, 2 hours. That's the immediacy just isn't there. I don't know what taxis would have to do to get to this point, but it's
yeah, I wonder if there's anything in the works regarding an app for taxis. Is there anything about, like, you know, trying to get into competition with Uber and Lyft?
Yes, there are some services. You may have seen Flywheels, the red sort of taxi services riding around San Francisco. They are trying, and the app companies are sort of trying to wedge their ways into the taxi world while the taxi companies are opening themselves up a little bit to technology and to the sort of modern era. And that's working a little better, but it's not like Uber and Lyft because, again, the flexibility that the gig economy allows for is just, like you said, Sarah, it's so much more immediate than having to wait for a taxi and call ahead and go through all those levels of bureaucracy, for lack of a better term. The question being, is the gig economy that we have in a pretty short period of time gotten so used to illegal in California, where these politicians are saying, hey, you need to pay your workers and treat them as full-time employees. You know, it's almost mind-blowing that they would leave California and that we would have either taxis or some of these other companies. There are a couple of other companies that do what California mandates as far as their drivers. They're much smaller, obviously. They don't operate on a larger scale, but they're saying, hey, we could come into California and take some of Uber and Lyft's business. I just don't know if they'd be able to catch up. I think we'd be stranded on the sidewalk for a while if this happens.
Nobody's really using Uber and Lyft right now. I mean, not certainly to the level that we were at one point, but it sounds like we have a one-month reprieve and that this is an unsolvable problem. So thank you, Scott Budman.
It will be solved at some point.
Okay, one way or the other, right?
Yes, exactly. Really hope so.
Hey, Scott, do you have any information on what happened with Google yesterday with the drives? Something really went wrong, and I think thousands of users were offline where they couldn't get their documents, and it looks like Sarah's having difficulties. I'm not sure if it's her.
It might be
still even this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that was, I did see that. It looked like sort of a temporary glitch, and I hadn't heard about it this morning still. But yeah, that was, let's see. I think if it's still going on this morning.
It's probably just
they had said,
house.
Yeah, that it was some sort of a, it was the Google Docs, it was the Google Drive, it was something that had disrupted that system. And it's one of those things where Google, and now when you sign on, and they did this a few years back, you're sort of across the whole platform. You've got your YouTube, you've got your Docs, you've got your Drive, not to mention your search engine, your Gmail. And at the time, it's like, hey, that's pretty cool. One sign on and I'm there. But being in so many places and being so connected can be a problem. So actually, let's see. So as of this morning, Google says most of the issues, like the G Suite, the Gmail, have been solved. But they admit some of this is still down and they don't know why. They just said sort of a system outage. And again, it's one of those things where we're across the system at the same time. And so you may just want to use one or two of these things. But if the whole system is down, you're down too.
Yes, screwed.
Mm. Yeah, we're kind of reliant on this.
But nothing nefarious. It didn't seem like it was like a Russian hack or anything like that.
Oh, well, that's good news. All right, Scott, always awesome to talk to you. You know, live from behind your fireplace or wherever you are there at your house. From the ANN and NBC Bay Area, our tech guy, Scott Budman. Thank you so much.
Thanks, you guys. Take care.
Thank you, Scott. That was Scott Budman of NBC Bay Area. Let me try to figure out how to kick him out of the room now. just multitasking is great, isn't it?
It is. You have so much to do today. You're the news guy, the guy pulling all my sound bites, producing the show. What else? What can't you do, Bryn?
You know, well, a lot, apparently. There's the, you know, I get stuck and sit here and go for a while. All right, so here we go. Here's a great story that I actually love. Because, as you know, we're all stuck at home during this pandemic here.
Yes.
And the great thing about it is most of us have started to cook and learn how to do new things like recipes. And Anita's been baking a bunch and looking up stuff and learning new things. And I must say it's gotten a lot better. But this story says the average person has cooked the same meal 28 times during the pandemic. When I actually think that that's low. That number is low because...
You think that you're cooking the same meal more than 28 times during the last 180 days?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's a meal, right? So for me, I get kind of like before when things just hit, I started cooking pho and I'm home all the time and I was... And that takes a lot. So I was getting fancy. But then after a while, it's like I'm tired or I'm working and, you know... Whatever it is, and chicken and rice. There's my go-to. Like it's easy, it's fast, it seems healthy enough.
How do you cook the chicken?
It's either rotisserie chicken that I'll just shred up and I'll put it in a container, so I'll have it ready to go, and I'll just pick at that throughout the week. Or sometimes I'll just cook a batch of chicken and have it saved, whether it's wings.
And then you
whatever.
Just make some kind of tasty rice.
Sometimes it's not even that tasty. I mean,
just,
to be honest,
like plain white rice.
It's just and I'll throw some. You know, they call it nukmam. You don't know what that is, do you?
Nukmam.
Oh, good job. That's a pretty good pronunciation with some decent tone there, Sarah.
Nukmam.
You know, nukmam.
And I got it once.
Yeah, so, no, both of them, they sound really good. But for me, it's just like I'll just put chicken and rice together and throw some soy sauce on it. That's actually fish sauce. Nukmam is like the Vietnamese. It's like in everything.
Right.
I put that stuff on everything. But they say that the average person...
That's your thing. You're going to that. Because I'll tell you something. There's never been more variety in our stupid diets over here. Like between... It's almost like John and Riley are in kind of a competition.
You
like
are in a John house can, full of like great chefs, though.
Like chefs, I know. Like Riley... Although Riley slowed down a lot. At first, he was... You couldn't go into the kitchen and not be in his way. Mm-hmm. No matter what you were trying to do. And so that's backed off a little bit. You can tell they judge each other's meals, too.
Oh, that's
and they have
tough.
Like long discussions about what are we going to have for dinner. And yeah,
I don't know what she's talking about.
Oh, really? Yeah.
John. Your Honor, I have no idea what she's talking about.
And I know that Nicole also lives with a chef, too. So she probably has quite the variety, right?
Yeah. Here and there. It just depends. I'm trying to think of what we had.
Oh, shame on your sister. She's not feast every night.
Well, it's like what most chefs say. It's like they cook all day. That's the last thing they want to do when they come home.
Oh, does she work in an actual restaurant?
No, she works at Whole Foods, and then she got a new job as a deli manager's official title, but she's creating charcuterie boards for a winery.
Oh, what fun. So, oh, yeah, those can be so pretty. I saw it. There's a board on TikTok and she does all these like you know, the pretty TikTok. The cheese and chunks of meat boards.
Yeah, it's
beautiful.
I went to Whole Foods with her.
And a TikTok board.
I went to Whole Foods with her yesterday and she bought edible flowers and I thought she was just going to put it on a cake or something. You know, randomly, and she's like, "No, I'm going to put that on the charcuterie boards and sell them."
That's amazing. Some people are really artful with that stuff. So you're saying now that she does that, she feels like she's prepping food and cooking all day, and she's not coming home and putting any effort into you guys' meals.
Yeah, but like even that. When I try, if I try to cook, she just gets mad, or I'm using the wrong tool for the job, or what are you doing? You're cutting it wrong. So then I'm like,
Nicole, this is what you do. You start cooking. And then she comes in and criticizes you. And then you go, oh, well, you know, please take over.
Exactly. Exactly. I slowly start to fade away.
Yeah, and you start something like super advanced too. Like something that's really hard to do.
But and then intentionally just cut it all raw. Just make noises that shouldn't be coming from the kitchen. And she'll be right into
She got mad at me because I cut a banana wrong. Like I made the pieces too. Like they weren't even pieces. I'm like, oh my God. It was during the fondue night. We had chocolate fondue, and I just cut it up.
I see.
And I didn't care. We're eating it. We're gonna eat the banana tonight. So why does it matter if you got a bigger piece than this person?
This piece is thick. This piece is thin.
Yeah.
There needs to be some regular. I'm with your sister on this.
Oh,
one.
No,
sorry,
no, no.
But you need to. That needs to change.
I agree. That's pretty janky of your banana cutting.
Yeah, very janky.
Oh my
terrible,
gosh,
terrible.
You're gonna put it in your mouth and eat it anyways. Why does it matter?
Oh, that's
absolutely
hot.
Agree.
Yeah,
thank you, John.
Yeah, that banana.
These guys don't know what they're talking about.
You should see Sarah eat a banana. She knows how to do that.
Sarah eats a banana like everyone eats a banana. There was a freeze frame where I had the thing shoved in my mouth, and that's your viral me eating a banana wrong.
With a banana shoved
ridiculous.
In your mouth.
I'm taking a bite. I'm taking a bite of the banana like everyone does. I peeled it down. I took a bite of it, and it was freeze frame.
You just ate the banana without biting. It was actually quite impressive and incredible. You're a lucky man, John. All right, here are three more quick stats on cooking during the pandemic, all right? We cook an average of 9 meals a week, but half of us are also ordering more takeout and delivery than usual. That sounds about
right. I wish
we
were. I like takeout.
I love takeout. I've been doing some takeout. Bunch of Vietnamese
stuff. They
won't
let me. Like, I'm like, let's get some wings. Let's get some burgers.
Oh, why not? Is it because of fear?
Like that.
The fear of
no, it's not that at all. They've got some stupid dinner plan that I don't want.
Oh, because you guys have chefs in the house, so that makes sense. I mean, just embrace it, Sarah. You're so lucky.
Yeah, but sometimes it'll be 4 o'clock and John's like, I don't have a dinner plan. I'm like, sandwiches again. That's what I cook. Hey, you guys, sandwiches. Here's some slices of things and some bread. Help yourselves.
BLT. Go to.
Oh, yeah, BLTs. Oh, my God. Can't argue with that.
Mm-hmm. In a perfect world, we wish we can cook dinner with only taking 12 minutes total, and which is about right. If I make my chicken and rice, I mean, you know, my rice is already prepared. My chicken's already there. It's done. It's like 3 minutes, you know. I guess to prepare the rice, though, it takes 15, 20 minutes to cook, and then...
Do you make a big batch of rice and save it and then just, you know, toss it in a pan?
Yeah,
because we do that a lot, kind of stir fry.
Yeah, exactly. Cameron's all about rice. So, and I love that because it's easy to fill her up. You know? Yeah. Do we have time for texts at all?
You can squeeze a text in if you want to.
Let's make sure we hit this. Where's Vinny?
Oh, right. Good. We'll end on this and then we'll take a quick break. Vinny has been evacuated from his house. He's having a crazy couple of days here, and the last thing we wanted him to worry about was his job. He needs to worry about his family and his house and all that stuff. So we're hopeful that he'll be back on Monday, and he's got some real – I mean, the stories that he's got to tell are – they're insane. Even one that doesn't have anything to do with the evacuation, this thing that happened to him yesterday morning in the middle of the show, and he had to go – he's like, I got to go. I have to take care of this.
And he will. So there's when he comes
he
back.
Will. Yeah, he's told us that he's going to tell the whole story. So we look forward to that on Monday. In the meantime, listen, you know, give us some feedback. We're trying over here. Just the three of us.
We can make it if we try.
So, I can't even sing with you guys.
Yeah, we're all
you ruined it, Bryn.
Yeah, Bryn. All right, we'll be right back after this.
It's Sarah and Vinny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.